From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The Pentagon says an equipment malfunction, not hostile fire, is the cause of the crash of a U.S. warplane today in Libya. Both pilots ejected from the F-15 fighter jet before it exploded in flames, and both are safe with only minor injuries. GOP Senator John McCain is the ranking Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee.
We are in a combat, and our pilots are trained to fly in combat, and let's hope there are no more mechanical failures.
McCain speaking on CBS's The Early Show. The crash of that warplane is apparently the first setback in the operation to establish a no-fly zone over Libya and to halt attacks against civilians by forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. Those attacks have continued today, though, with Gaddafi's forces reportedly shelling the rebel-held city of Misrata. Some members of Congress from both parties are arguing that President Obama should have sought congressional approval before involving the U.S. in the Libyan offensive. But in London, after a lively debate, Larry Miller reports British lawmakers have overwhelmingly approved their government's participation.
Some lawmakers expressed discomfort with what they called selective intervention, ignoring abuse in Bahrain and Saudi Arabia while going after the Gaddafi regime. Labour's leader David Miliband said that in the real world, decisions are made on a combination of principle and pragmatism.
But an imperfect world order is not an excuse for inaction.
One lawmaker against the motion pointed out that many of Gaddafi's weapons were supplied by Britain. There was also concern that Libya could turn into another Iraq. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
A nuclear safety official in Japan says one of the pools used to store spent fuel rods at the damaged nuclear power complex is heating up again. Safety crews have been trying to get water into those pools, even as they work to reestablish electricity to the complex to power cooling equipment. The U.S. Embassy in Tokyo has informed a Virginia couple that the body of their daughter, 24-year-old Taylor Anderson, has been found in wreckage from the tsunami. NPR's Dwali Saikautau reports Anderson had been teaching English in Japan for 3 years.
When the record earthquake hit Japan, she reportedly was seen helping people get to higher ground and later apparently took off on her bike in the direction of her home. That's when the tsunami followed. 10 days later, rescue workers found her body. In Midlothian, Virginia, Anderson's family says the U.S. Embassy called them last night to tell them her body was found. In a statement, the family asked the public to respect their privacy during this difficult time. Dwahli Saikautau, Aizu Wakamatsu, Japan.
Sound of new protest in Yemen today. Tens of thousands of people there demanding the resignation of the country's longtime president, Ali Abdullah Saleh. Saleh reportedly saying he will step down, but not until he organizes parliamentary elections to be held early next year, and not without knowing who will succeed him. This is NPR News from Washington. Firefighters in Colorado are contending with gusty winds and tinder-dry conditions as they battle a large wildfire in the foothills near Denver. Kirk Siegler of member station KUNC says the blaze is threatening hundreds of homes.
The Indian Gulch Fire is burning through steep and rugged canyons just above the city of Golden, Colorado. Erratic wind gusts up to 40 miles an hour have fanned the flames toward several neighborhoods. Jefferson County Sheriff spokeswoman Jackie Kelly says the weather has been a major factor.
It's making things very difficult for the guys on the fire line.
Despite plentiful snow still in the Colorado mountains, much of the eastern part of the state is in the grips of a severe drought. For NPR News, I'm Kirk Siegler in Denver.
Attorneys make opening arguments today in the perjury trial of former San Francisco Giants slugger Barry Bonds. NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports Bonds is accused of lying under oath in an investigation of steroid use in Major League Baseball.
In 2003, Bonds testified before a federal grand jury looking into the Balco steroid scandal. Under oath, he said that he had never knowingly used performance-enhancing drugs. Bonds, who holds baseball's career and single-season home run records, faces 5 felony counts, 4 perjury charges, and 1 of obstruction of justice. A jury of 8 women and 4 men were selected from a jury pool of 100. The jurors' names are being kept secret until the end of the trial, which is expected to last about 4 weeks. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, San Francisco.
A jewelry manufacturer has agreed to eliminate, for all intent and purpose, the toxic metal cadmium from its bracelets, necklaces, and other items that it sells. The settlement with Tween Brands covers jewelry sold in California to young people and adults, but the company says it will apply the policy nationwide. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.